The police are appealing for calm following the murder of the prominent loyalist John Borland. The PSNI's lines of inquiry in the killing include tensions within loyalism. John Borland had been a leading UDA figure. He was shot dead on Sunday night in North Belfast. Police have pledged to increase patrols in the area amid fears of further violence. The security journalist Brian Rowan with us this morning. What's the latest on this, Brian?
Well, any talk, Stephen, that is coming from loyalists at this time is that the talk is of this being internal and localised. I'm told that names are being bandied about, names being mentioned. Of course, all of that could be just talk, rumour, speculation, some people thinking out loudly. But there is this talk and this focus on loyalist involvement of some description. I wasn't at that police news conference yesterday, but I spoke to someone separately. And you will have heard yesterday, and you mentioned it in your introduction, that a main line of inquiry that a main line of inquiry that is being described is this tension within loyalism. An arrest has been made in the north of the city. Police have said they will step up patrolling. That, of course, to try to police out any possibility of retaliation or an escalation in the situation in North Belfast. And the guidance I'm getting, Stephen, is the starting point in this police investigation is a loyalist link with a very close, within a very close localised area. John Borland had been in a pub for several hours, and you'll know from the events that developed on Sunday night that he was shot as he arrived home in the north of the city.
And was this a feud or a single incident that led to this? Is there anything around that?
Well, there have been all sorts of tensions in the north of the city going back over quite a period of time. And within the UDA itself in that part of the city, Stephen, there are probably three different factions. You'll remember last year a big news conference which was the announcement of the formation of what was called a Loyalist Communities Council. That brought together the UVF, the UDA, and the Red Hand Commando under one umbrella. Now, the discussions that led to the formation of that Loyalist Communities Council at that time, part of the discussion was about concerns that loyalists could engage in yet another violent feud, could begin shooting each other again. And the concern was about what was happening at that time in North Belfast, the fracturing of the UDA in that part of the city, a number of different factions emerging, tensions, and a number of incidents. And at that news conference, going back to October last year, and the formation of the Loyalist Communities Council, Tony Blair's former chief of staff, Jonathan Powell, was at that news conference. And I can remember him describing this as a last best chance for loyalism. And what he meant was it was a last chance for mainstream loyalism to reinvolve itself with the peace process and to help address some of the unfinished work and business of that process around the legacy of the past, around issues of parading and culture. And the initiative, Stephen, was about trying to create distance between those within the loyalist community who are serious about peace and those whose only interest is self-interest. Now, people such as John Borland and his close associate, Andre Shukri, have been outside of that loyalist mainstream, going back as far as 2006, when the mainstream UDA leadership stood down the North Belfast leadership at that time.
There was speculation yesterday, Brian, that the Loyalist Communities Council was going to issue a statement.
I heard that speculation yesterday, Stephen, but the statement has not emerged at this stage. But that I imagine, would have been a statement condemning the shooting and appealing for calm. And if you go back to to that Loyalist Communities Council statement at the point of its formation last October. One of the things it said, Stephen, and I'll read you just a little bit of text from its statement at that stage. It said, "We are recommitting to the principles of the Belfast Agreement. We eschew all violence and criminality. If there are those who attempt to use current or past associations with our organisations to further criminality, they will be disowned." So I would have imagined that any statement that would have emerged or that could still emerge from the Loyalist Communities Council will be around a condemnation of what happened and an appeal for CAM.
And if this is linked, and it's a big if, but if this is linked to the UDA in any way, that has big implications for the Loyalist Communities Council for a start, doesn't it?
Well, as I say, that Loyalist Communities Council was about bringing mainstream loyalism together. There was once, and you know, I remember this from the period of the ceasefires. Loyalism once was under the umbrella of a combined loyalist military command. And if you actually go back to the period of the ceasefires, 1994 through to the Good Friday Agreement of 1998, loyalism was centrally involved at that stage. We then went in to a period of many loyalist feuds, and this whole idea of the Loyalist Communities Council was to try to bring mainstream loyalism under the one umbrella again. But obviously, Stephen, at times like this when these shootings happen, and we talked about this yesterday, it brings a focus to ceasefires. It brings a focus on to the issue of guns and decommissioning and how complete or incomplete all of that was. And it also brings a focus on to this question of paramilitary disbandment. How is it achieved? When it can be achieved. Indeed, the question may well be, can it be achieved? You know, is it too late to achieve paramilitary disbandment? So a lot will depend, Stephen, on how the police assessment develops from here.
And I wonder whether there'll be further pressure from politicians for a firm assessment from the police.
And we talked about that yesterday, Stephen, and going back to the murder of Kevin McGuigan in Belfast last year, you'll remember the sequence at that stage. A detective gave an early assessment. Then the chief constable and the assistant chief constable, George Hamilton and Will Kerr, gave a more detailed assessment. Then there was a request for an official security and intelligence report on all of that. So let's see what is asked for after this shooting on Sunday, and how the assessment develops from here on in.
Okay, Brian, thank you. The Reverend Leslie Carroll, the Presbyterian Minister, excuse me, in North Belfast. Morning to you, Leslie.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What does a murder like this do for community tension in the area?
Well, people are certainly more frightened than they were and anxious that this doesn't roll out into something much bigger. I think people feel generally that nobody's listening to them, that the Loyalist community feel pretty much unheard, and this adds to their sense of nobody's really interested in us and increases their sense of fear.
And where does it leave the goal of bringing loyalism in from the cold, Leslie?
Well, I mean, I think that that's something that's on all our radars and on loyalism's radar as well, and we have to work hard at that, and that will involve a number of measures. Not simply condemning what's happened, and I do condemn what's happened, but also measures around addressing the education issues, the poverty issues, the general social issues, social justice issues that impact on those communities, the sense of agency that those communities have. We have to deal with all of that, I think, within a broad package of measures.
And the bottom line is, a man's dead here. A man's lost his life.
It's absolutely horrendous. And the family are grieving and will continue to grieve for many years to come. And that is both appalling and unbearable, and sympathy to the family for sure. And we have to try to create a situation in which these things simply don't happen.
Is the will there within the Loyalist community?
Oh, I think the Loyalist community is tired. Many people within the Loyalist community are tired of this and appalled by it. They don't want it to happen. When tensions rise, of course, people begin to feel differently. Intentions, as Brian has said, have been there for a long time, and those need to be addressed.
Reverend Leslie Carroll, thank you very much indeed.